There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. And it's another couple hours of you and I. Live local talk at 343-0106 for you to chime in with your thoughts here on the phone or the text line. Same number, 343-0106. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can also use that TalkBack feature. Coming up today on the show, former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine will join me. Also from Mobile Baykeeper, Kane O'Rear will join me. Erica Thomas from 1819 News, about half an hour from right now. And as we get started on this, I want to put it this way. This Obama kid, pretty good talker. A real good talker. I could sell oil to the Saudis out there. Watching that last night and during the DNC. Interesting, too. So Bill Clinton, I think, is tonight. Why you wouldn't have Bill Clinton. So as you get towards the last day, right, you're going further up the fight card to the main event. Of course, that will be the speech from Kamala Harris, who I don't know could do anything close to Barack Obama's talk last night. So here's the situation with and watching Obama. He reminds me in the way, kind of how I feel about Bo Jackson. Although I've had Bo on post-football, he's been on the show with me, I think. There's a lot of things he and I come together on, you know, outdoor stuff and his love for Alabama. But Bo Jackson played for Auburn, if y'all are new to town, right? I'm graduate of the University of Alabama, big Crimson Tide football fan from way back. But you had to sit and watch Bo Jackson go, God bless, this guy is good, right? He's playing for the opposite team, but you had to say he's a remarkable athlete. Barack Obama's a remarkable orator. I'm not telling you things you didn't know, but to hear him last night, all those years later, thank goodness this guy is not running, you know, again out there, right? So he just, and I know all the superlatives, he's a once-in-a-lifetime political orator. I think that's right. I think he's, I don't hear anything from Democrats or Republicans, orators that are at that level. The guy, you know, I mean, like I said, he could sell oil to the Saudis. But if you go through his delivery, his pacing, his physical gestures, and a lot of the words last night weren't about policy. They were, you know, about bringing the crowd in and stopping and pausing and pointing at people and getting them to cheer and those kind of things. But a few times through Obama's speech last night, he did talk a little bit of policy, and we talk about those on today's show. You know, I'll play this one first. Let's go to clip one here. Now, this is from last night's DNC. Here's former President Obama. Talks about, well, talk about getting rid of government regulation. You hear this. So let's go to cut one.
We can't just rely on the ideas of the past. We need to chart a new way forward to meet the challenges of today. And Kamala understands this. She knows, for example, that if we want to make it easier for more young people to buy a home, we need to build more units and clear away some of the outdated laws and regulations that made it harder to build homes for working people in this country. That is a priority, and she's put out a bold new plan to do just that.
Okay, so for a second here, if you had to pick a party, and be fair, even if you're not a Republican, not a conservative, if you had to pick the party that is most responsible, now both parties have responsibility here. But if you had to pick a party that was most responsible for regulation, bureaucracy in Washington, wouldn't it be the party that is having their convention right now? So you get cheers, and but it's interesting. You get the people cheering because former President Obama says candidate Kamala Harris is going to clear away the regulations, make more houses built. Now, she's on the campaign trail saying she's going to give first-time homebuyers $25,000, which we've already taken to task this week, how it makes no sense in economics, nor do price controls. They don't make sense either. But you have the delivery here. The person who's not running does a better... He comes out, and really it is the responsibility of his party, the Democrat Party, for obsessing about regulations for building, right? But he comes out and says, well, the new candidate... So instead of Kamala Harris being on the campaign trail and saying this, it's delivered best by a surrogate. And I wonder how much of... The people listening to it, obviously the people in Chicago are going to rah, 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 not going to listen to the detail here on it. But the rest of us listen to this. He is a fantastic orator. He is like what I would watch Bo Jackson and say, I sure wish he played for the Tide. Not my guy, not my team, but really good. So just a little bit of that from last night. We'll get some more clips probably later on in the show. Of course, also all the talk from both Obamas, from the former First Lady and the former President, about helping others. You know, you heard Michelle Obama saying he gets up every morning. First thing he does is figures out, and I'm paraphrasing here, how he can help out others, right? So how is it if the Obamas spend 24/7 figuring out how to help out everybody else that they can't seem to keep from acquiring wealth? It's amazing. I mean, if they're giving it away all the time and they're just figuring out how to help out others, and, you know, in the speeches last night, basically, how much do you need money-wise before you give it to other people? Looked at this stat. I thought it was pretty interesting, and it can maybe tells me, but they might have done so very, very well that they have given away 90% and still have what they have left. So a little stat here. These are presidential net worth, right? The worth, financial worth, when they entered office and then after they left office. So it's a stat I thought was interesting. Barack Obama went into the White House with a net worth of $1.3 million. After being president of the United States, net worth $70 million. Maybe he's given a bunch away. George Bush went from $20 million in net worth, although probably argue that he probably had a lot more coming to him, but $20 million in net worth, came out with $40 million after being president. The keynote speaker, I guess, tonight at the DNC, former President Bill Clinton, who, you know, a fantastic orator on his own, but I don't think he's the Bo Jackson like Barack Obama is. He went in, the Clintons went in with $1.3 million in net worth, and now the Clintons are estimated to be at about $241 million in net worth. George H.W. Bush went in with $4 million, came out with 20 after being president, $23 million. And then this one I thought was pretty interesting. So here we go. You have Barack Obama, and I, math magicians out there, y'all can help me, from $1.3 million to $70 million. It's like 65 times, 65X. George Bush doubling. Bill Clinton was from 1.3 to 200X increase in net wealth after being president. H.W. Bush, 8X expansion. No. This is what math gives me. About 5.5X. Increase in net worth. And then we come to another name here, a former president on the list. As we're talking about the people that are giving back or making money from the job, former president, candidate for president right now, Donald Trump, goes in with $3 billion. And I know before you start typing, Trump haters out there, you might say, well, he didn't really have it. It was faked. This is the numbers on the list. The same people that pulled the numbers for the other folks on this list pulled them for Donald Trump. He went in with a net worth of $3 billion, and as of now, is at $2.3 billion. You notice anything different on that list? Yeah, only one person. Number one went in as a billionaire, but number two, lost money by being president of the United States. All right, got plenty of texts to get to. We'll take those and phone calls when we come back at 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Get to those texts in 1 second. First, let's check in with Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Got an education yesterday, get an education today on precious metals. Because people, Ron, if they didn't hear yesterday, people last week asked me, hey, Sean, with what was happening with equities, what was happening with the market, why was gold trending like it was, and silver as well? Kind of, you explained a little bit of that yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with consumer confidence being lower than usual. Of course, that there's a hint of a recession on the horizon. All the leading economic indicators point to that. And that, of course, strengthens precious metals. The strange thing last week we talked about yesterday was for one day the dollar, commodities, everything was up. So it's strange to see that. And for gold and silver to be up at the same time the dollar's up, of course, they have to outperform the U.S. dollar, which they were doing. And the gold's still over $2,500 right now, and silver's trending just about $29.45 right now.
Yeah, and other precious metals you've talked about with us that also kind of raised my eyebrow when you first mentioned platinum and palladium. I'm like, why are these trading so highly? Is it just, I mean, they do make pretty jewelry, but you said, no. This is not about jewelry. It's a lot about the automotive industry.
It is. Right now, palladium is the number one metal for catalytic converters, but just like the housing market, the automotive industry has slowed down quite a bit with interest rates being up. And subsequently, platinum palladium prices dropped that to below gold, which has been a long time that both of those metals were less than actual gold. In fact, you can buy almost 2 ounces, a little over 2 ounces of platinum or palladium for per one ounce of gold right now. And been a long time since that situation's been reversed like that. So we have been selling a lot more platinum and palladium. We do have stuff in stock. If somebody wants a large quantity, of course, we can do a custom order for them.
Do those come, platinum and palladium, do they, I mean, obviously coming coins, but do they do bars with those as well? Or how does that come?
Yeah, any precious metal you can usually buy in straight bullion form or a monetized coin form. And Canada, the United States, Russia, quite a few countries make the platinum and palladium coins. And then, of course, many different countries make bars that come with an assay card for 1 ounce of platinum or 1 ounce of palladium.
It's always an education, an exciting world out there. If people want to come by and learn more from you, how do they find you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or give us a call, 251-725-1590.
Hey, thank you, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And to the text line here, Squirrel Vereen says, I don't see how you can hear this and compliment him in any way, meaning Obama. But I can. I mean, that's just where I'm. The same way I could say, you know, Squirrel Vereen, that's why I said the way I would say Bo Jackson was amazing, even though he's playing for the wrong team. It's amazing. I didn't agree with his team, but I like, hey, really good. So at the same time, I'm really commenting not on substance. I had issues. I already taken some umbrage there, Squirrel Vereen, with what was said. But how it was said is, you know, it's just, he's a good orator, man. All right. Jay says the $25,000 for first-time home buyers and the building of 3 million new homes is impractical and impossible. All the building is mandated by the states. Where will you build? Who decides? And if you immediately start giving everyone money as a first-time home buyer, you're going to manufacture resident real estate inflation. Of course, Jay has said the same thing. I mean, it's anytime you put this artificial money in, you just move the market up $25,000. Or let's say some of it's eaten up in there, so you move each home price up by $20,000 or $17,000. It's wasteful. It's, you know, government takes your $25,000, you know, from say the average taxpayer has a tax implication of like $10,000. So two and a half taxpayers, the full freight of their tax, federal tax, then goes to be put into the system to artificially inflate prices, where the value of that now is diminished greatly versus if they were let to have that money and they could use it in the private marketplace. Wow, what could happen? Right, Dirt Digger, if Democrats are going to stop homes have to be... if Democrats are going to stop how homes are going to be built, this is no San Francisco, we can't live in tents or poor built homes, hurricanes will blow us away. Brandon asked if I went to the Civic Center funeral that I talked about yesterday. I did not. Did not go to the open casket Civic Center funeral yesterday. I did talk to somebody this morning, though, and I am a little bit... they said they got a brick. So they got a brick. And that's the kind of stuff, if you ever stop by for a prize, maybe you win College Pick'em, which, by the way, that prize, College Pick'em prize, just awesome. Spring Hill Ace Hardware coming up with the Yeti Roadie Roller Cooler, the Blackstone, the grill, the tool set, the Camino Tote. Very cool. Go check out our Facebook page for details. But like if you came by to pick that up, or any other prize you're coming by to pick up, you could see the kind of stuff I collect around here. Photographs of Mobile and Baldwin County. I've got teak wood, of course, and you've heard me talk at length about that, teak wood from the Alabama. These things are, so a brick from the Civic Center, I mean, if somebody wants to bring me one, I'll take it. But no, Brandon, I did not go to the funeral for a building. All right, Tuskers, the contrast, oh, this was from earlier, and then says Cheney Halliburton, no media condescension. Explain that one to me. Help me with it. I don't know. I mean, I know the words you just used, but I'm maybe missing what you're talking about there. King of all unnamed texters said, I think Obama sounds condescending. Yeah, people have said that before. I don't get that, but I have heard that. You're not the first person I've heard say that. He said, I mean, he sounds like a car salesman. He sounds like the best salesperson you've ever heard. Actually, and he said, making the high interest sound like a positive thing for you. Like I said, Obama could sell oils to the Saudis. And then Michael says, Kamala's biggest worry to me is proposed taxes on unrealized capital gains. Absolutely. Let's figure out how we can just shut down investment, Americans' dollars in investing in the United States. I mean, this whole idea that government, there's a certain tab you got to pay to have a government. Sure. Like I said, I am a somewhat reformed, pragmatic libertarian, right? There's some things you have to pay for. But so many of the things that government wants to do, they're going to take your money to do a thing that maybe if there was a demand for it, the free market would do it. And they are going to reduce the value of those dollars that they take from you and give to somebody else. So not only are they taking that dollar and giving it to somebody else because they know best, but in doing it, you have a deflational, you deflate the value of that money after it changes hands. It's not only are you losing the $10,000 in tax you're paying, but it's buying value, it's value in the marketplace is reduced by the time government gets done with it. So... and speaking of which, we get time maybe next hour because Erica Thomas is going to join us here shortly. Story from Yahoo Finance says, what do y'all think? You let me know on the text line. Yahoo Finance story says, the Schwab survey reveals that Americans think it now takes $2.5 million to be considered wealthy in 2024. I don't know that they're off on that. If you look at what the prices of everything are, what the average home price is, what it costs to do that. It says, 2.5 million. They said it's up slightly from 2023 and 2022, where they thought it was 2.2 million. Now that's just people going, putting their finger in there, I guess. It says by generation, here we go. The boomers have the highest threshold of what it takes to be considered wealthy at 2.8 million. That's because they've held on to their houses so long that are worth so much that they're like, yeah, it should take this much. What do you think? What's your number to be considered wealthy? All Americans overall say 2.5 billion. The boomers say 2.8 million. Gen X, 2.7 million. Millennials, 2.2 million. And Gen Z says it's 1.2 million. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Read through a couple texts here, and actually introduce my friend Erica Thomas from 1819 News. She can read text with me.
Howdy.
Howdy. All right, here's what we have. Let's see. Oh, yeah, traffic-wise, Don says they're working on Celeste Road at the new land complex, sports complex here in Saraland, down to one way on the road. Okay. Larry from Daphne said if President Obama would have allowed drilling in the Keystone Pipeline during his presidency and then sold the oil to Saudi, you could imagine what the national debt would be then. I might have voted for the guy if he used common sense like that. Let's see. This unnamed texter, last time federal government got involved in the housing market was 2008 when they decided everyone deserved a house, whether they could afford it or not. They destroyed the economy and put thousands of builders, subcontractors, and suppliers out of business. Yes, texter, the federal government and some quasi-private companies. I call them that because after the bailout, you know, the Lehman Brothers and all that, what happened there is we the people took the hit on that, right? And then, of course, they got bailed out, not the people. I said years ago on the show, been talking about for a decade and a half, which, by the way, if you get a chance to watch a movie called The Big Short, have you ever seen that, Erica?
Oh, yeah.
That movie is awesome. So if y'all have never seen The Big Short, and I'm the guy that's only seen about 15 movies, y'all know that. That's the comedy. It's one I've seen, and it's a fantastic movie about what happened. But we, the people, also had a responsibility. I remember saying when the Ditech commercials used to come out, and they would say, they're going to loan you 125% of the value of your house. And, you know, I graduated with a communications degree. But my father was a hell of a businessman. I'd look at him and said, what's going on here? He said, it's not good. I said, why? How? If there's no, they're lending you more than the home is worth. So, all right. I also asked that question about what does it take to be wealthy? Sonny says $5 million minimum to be considered wealthy. Jim in Georgetown said, how much did the Gen Xers say you needed to make to be considered wealthy? Let's see that number. This is a Yahoo Finance story out there. So Gen Xers, that's me, $2.7 million. Is what it takes to be wealthy. That's what they're saying, 2.7 million. Overall Americans, 2.5 million. The boomers say 2.8 million because they got all the real estate. Gen X, 2.7 million because we got a lot of it. Millennials, 2.2 million. And Gen Z, 1.2 million. Those are the numbers they said for what it takes to be wealthy. Mm. And
my Cash App is... No, I'm just kidding.
You hit me up on Cash App. All right. A lot to talk about, Erica, with you and stories from right here at home. Of course, we had a senatorial visit here. I want to get to that. But probably for me, the most important story, let me get it here, the most important story you've reported on here the last few days, and it caught my attention very quickly, was a kangaroo on the loose.
Yes.
Yeah, not every day we get kangaroos on the loose story.
This was a very, very serious situation.
Okay.
And so I took my investigative skills and just stretched them to the max to find out exactly what happened.
The danger to you and your family from kangaroos on the road. Erica Thomas reports now.
That's right. Roo on the road, guys, breaking right now from Collinsville, Alabama.
So what is this? Like,
I need to set this up a little bit. Collinsville is well known for the trade day that they have there.
Trade day?
Yes.
So like a weekly thing or is it once a year?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's all the time. You can always depend on Collinsville, okay?
Okay, Collinsville is where? Where's, if we don't know where Collinsville is, near what?
It's I would say like Gadsden-ish.
Okay.
Part of it's in Cherokee County, part of it's in DeKalb County, but, you know, someone from around here, I would be like, oh, probably, you know, it's a little north of Gadsden. It's definitely North Alabama.
Okay.
But pretty far north Alabama, as I've found people here say, like, Birmingham is North Alabama, and I'm like, no, it's not. But anyways, so Collinsville is known for this massive trade day that they've had, and they've had it for decades. I don't even know how long.
Trade day, like a swap shop thing, or like
flea
market.
A flea market, yes. Like people come and they set up their booths, and you can get, you know, like the leather made stuff, the wooden made stuff,
sure,
painted wood,
rubber band guns,
any kind of
okay.
And they also always have like chickens and rabbits.
Okay.
And that's what I always gravitated to.
Came home with some new friends every time.
Yeah, definitely. Kittens, which I think is terrible. They should not do that. But they do, and it's just a way of life. It's what they do. So when I saw this, I was like, what are they selling kangaroos at the trade day now.
Right. That would make sense. Occam Fraser says yes, that would make sense.
But that wasn't the case. This kangaroo, which I called it Roo on the in the road.
Right.
Several drivers in the area captured this
girl.
Watch it.
Look at the pictures. Watch the video. I mean, y'all, this is straight up like, you know, down under shrimp on the Barbie Australia stuff running down the side of the road in Alabama.
Yes. And the cute thing is, I did find out where the Roo came from. Her name's Delilah, and she came from Safari Farms and Exotics, which is in Collinsville.
Okay.
But a lot of people didn't even know this place existed because they sell exotic animals. They have, like, camels and, you know, zebras. I started looking at their website, and I was like, I definitely need a zebra.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You do, yeah.
Like, I would just love that.
Took the words out of my mouth, yeah.
And they have even, like, the mule zebras. I think those are really cool. You know, but I'm getting sidetracked here because I was just amazed by this whole thing.
Okay.
You know, deep digging. I went down a rabbit hole.
Jokes. I get it.
Yeah.
Because this is a theme, because yesterday I closed the show out talking about a new TV show coming out about the Tiger King. People are putting on a new show about chimps. People have chimps in their homes. Chimp mamas.
Chimp King.
And we had, it's something chimp. I have to find it. And I had a listener who had a chimp call up, and he had it and had to give it up. So this is a kangaroo, though, not a chimp.
This is a kangaroo, and they've had this kangaroo, Delilah, and her mate,
mm-hmm.
for years.
Right.
But she somehow got out.
Sure.
And the owner told me, he said, I think it was because there were some storms, and she was a little jumpy, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Jumpy. Gotcha. She went down under the fence, and yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
And so, she took her own little safari.
But she's back right now?
She's back. She's back in her enclosure, safe and sound. And the owner said he's going to make sure this doesn't happen again. I told him, I said, I was just for sure that I was going to find out this kangaroo had been hit by a car. Because
right.
she was jumping in front of a car. Can you imagine driving down the road,
mm-hmm.
just minding your business
in
your neighborhood, and then a kangaroo?
Well, here's this thing. So in today's world with cell phone video and all that, you've got a way to... In the old days, you had to come back and say, y'all wouldn't believe what I saw on the way home.
Y'all ain't gonna believe this.
How far into the 12-pack are you, Sean? Be like, oh, man, I saw a kangaroo. Sure you did. Let's take the keys from you right now.
Yes. The guy that sent me the video, his name's Trey Reed, and he said, I thought I was hallucinating.
I've seen a lot of things run down the side of the road. Kangaroo's not one of them.
It's definitely not. I've never seen it. If I saw it, I would probably try to catch it.
Sure, and you've seen what they box you.
Yeah, I know.
And then kick
this
you.
This one was a pet, so.
Until they
and
don't
I always
go with
have,
you.
Like,
would you ride it in the
in
car?
My...
Sit in the passenger seat?
I have all kinds of stuff in my car. I have like this net thing in there. I have like a thing to put down in case I catch a dog. I have dog biscuits, a water bottle.
South Baldwin County, be aware.
I'm always on the lookout.
Erica lives amongst y'all there. So you can go check that out, of course, at 1819news.com. Also, help me understand this, because I saw some of the headlines. So Senator Katie Britt was in town and then talked about funding that would be, is it used for just for more for the dredging? Is it for trying to eliminate the dredge spoil? Which, by the way, Kana Rear from Baykeeper joins me next hour. But what did the senator say, what's this money? I think it was $47 million or something like that.
Yeah, and Cade will be able to speak on this a lot more, because they actually had a town hall last night in Fairhope on the dredging project. And specifically, this is what people don't understand. It's not about the widening and the deepening necessarily. It's about the maintenance.
Correct. Once you make a channel deeper, you have to keep it there. We've been doing that forever with the current depth.
Right. Because obviously all that mud's going to go back in. Yeah. So that's what they're worried about now. They're trying to make sure that going forward, the Army Corps of Engineers will, you know, do this list of things that they want them to do, and Cade will talk in great detail about that.
So,
but the money that Britt, she's advanced, and it'll go towards this project and making sure that the Army Corps of Engineers is following, you know, whatever comes out of a federal study. We want to make sure, like...
So that money's there for them to because I guess beforehand it was a 70% beneficial use, or maybe close to that number, that would be used for these beneficial use projects. 30% would be returned to the bay.
Right.
Right. Will this $47 million make that 30% not return to the bay and be used for beneficial use?
Hopefully it will be used to either do beneficial use projects or take it offshore.
Sure. Okay. So it won't because keep that, it from being returned to the bay.
Right. Because those two things are more expensive than just dumping it into
Absolutely.
The bay. That's exactly why they're doing that.
And the Corps is tasked with, we've dealt with this for years here in discussions I've had about, we have a hurricane or a tropical storm, and here was FEMA money coming in or federal money coming in to put more sand on Dauphin Island, when the same federal government had the Corps of Engineers taking the sand elsewhere because it was cheaper, and they were tasked with, the Corps had to use the cheapest option.
Right, that's the
But even though one hand didn't know what the other one was doing, because it cost the same, cost taxpayers more money to get sand after a storm instead of just putting it on in the first place.
And so, I mentioned that last night when I was talking to, her name's Cassie, she's the scientist with Mobile Baykeeper. She's great. She is really good at explaining exactly what's going on, and that's kind of how I got a full understanding of it. But, everything that they removed from the initial widening, that what they did with that was expensive, and they definitely are.
And there's some big projects. There's things people see around our area where they're building in land down the Dauphin Island Causeway.
And that's what I always say, because I remember before I even moved down here, we would go visit Dauphin Island. We would go all the way to the end. And just all that land at the end, I mean, the beach erosion is terrible down there. And so last night I said, why can't they just take it over there? And, it seems simple to me.
Well, okay, and there's different, there's different kinds. You're dredging mud in some places, sand mud in other places, and sand in some places.
That's
so you
correct.
Get different, the sand mud and the mud are going into places like where they're doing the restoration, going down the side of the causeway, heading to Dauphin Island. Then the sand. Can you hold on?
Yeah.
Okay, because the music comes up. That means we have to go to the news and come right back. Erica Thomas from 1819 News. The kangaroo wrangler.
Ruin the road.
Is with us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To 1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Hey, by the way, Erica, Lisa in Robertsdale said, this is why you have to read through a whole text. I saw the beginning of the text from Lisa. It said, I've seen a naked fox on my mail route one time. And I went, okay. And then she said, apparently had mange and looked like something off the X-Files.
Oh.
The stuff people think are chupacabras, like coyotes. But I just read the first sentence. Lisa, imagine me when I read the first,
I would have thought,
reading the last.
Yeah. Like, well, do you usually see them clothed?
Yeah. I was
little overalls or
something?
Yeah,
I don't know. So it's a naked fox on her mail route, but no, it's a different one.
Or chupacabra.
Yes, or the chupacabra, very much so. A couple other items to look at here. So Senator Britt was in, right? Made her pass through. Mm-hmm. Also was here for, I guess, an event for, now, is it a, it's, I guess he's now left Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Hoss Mack is out.
No, his last day is in 10 days.
10 days, okay. Because I know he came on and told me it was sometime, I thought it was in August.
Yeah.
He's moving on.
His last official day is August 31st.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Did she come by with $47 million for the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Okay, just checking.
But yeah, she did, she honored him. She spoke on congressional record, thanked him for 17 years as sheriff. And the interesting thing about this is, just going back and looking at the history of Hoss Mack. I remember when I first moved down here, I went into his office to kind of get to know him. And I just thought the name Hoss, a name.
Yeah.
I was expecting some, 7 foot
right.
man. He's a large guy. I can get how he got the name Hoss, but it wasn't exactly what I pictured.
Right.
Then I looked over and I saw on the wall a picture of him on a horse back in the day. Like he used to be on the mounted patrol, which I think is so cool because I grew up around horses. And actually the phone number to the place where my mom worked, we did horse rides. It was 477 Hoss.
Well, I'll be darned.
And so I was like, oh, you know, like mm-hmm. I just had that, I love horses. So it made sense to me after that. But she did go through a little bit of his history, and I think he just has a lot of history, you know, in the county. His dad was he owned a funeral home, and I thought that was neat. She talked about how in 1982, and this is right before he became, got into law enforcement, his grandfather was murdered. I mean, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
And that kind of catapulted him into this career that he's, now he's going to be the top cop in Alabama.
Well, top sheriff, yeah.
Well, top sheriff, not attorney general. But, you know, you don't know what he's going to do, you know. He might run for something one day.
We'll see. Politics are in the air. And then, speaking of milestones out there, that little dive bar that's so very popular makes it into movies and songs and all that right there on the Alabama-Florida line. Florabama had a big birthday.
Oh, yeah. 60th anniversary. Yep. Yeah, that was incredible. I went in and I got to meet some of the owners. One of them was Pat McClellan. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, thank you for your service, you know, because he's a veteran. He said, how'd you know?
But your service to people on the beach, too.
Yeah, but he was like, how'd you know? And I said, well, everybody knows that. Everybody knows about you. You know, he's done a lot. Because this whole idea of like the mullet toss, for example, came along with him and some other folks, and they were just sitting out in front of Florabama, and they were like, let's do something fun, like, you know, and that's how mullet toss came about. They
were bored. You have a state line right there. It's interesting because it's truly organic.
Yeah.
Because if a big company came in and said, we're going to put the newest, hottest thing in, right? And we're going to put this place right on at that spot. I don't think it has the same success. I think the organic nature of how Florabama happened.
Yeah,
why it's still cool.
Right. And they constant, like 24, like the whole time they're open, they always have different music playing in different places. So it really can be for anybody. Not to mention the fact, just the feel that you get when you're in there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The feel you get when you're there. Because if you came through with like a corporate entity said, we have designed this concept and plan and our people and we're going to implement, it might be somewhat successful, but I don't think it has the cool of something that was literally added on to, figuratively and literally, you know, through the years.
And I think, you know, they even have church at Florabama.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild to me. I did not know that when I moved down here. But I need to go visit for church. I'd like to see what that's all about. But, yeah, I just think it's a really cool place. I interviewed some people that were there and asked them, what do you like about Florabama? And it was constantly the good music, the good mm-hmm. people. Good music, good people, you know. So, I mean, it's a special place, and I think a lot of people have memories from there. Mm-hmm. People from all over know what Florabama is.
Some memories are hazier than others, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, imagine that. All right, what are you working on now? What's you usually tease something that you're working on.
Yeah, so not for today, but for me today, I'm going to go over to Vets Recover and see what that's all about. Okay. I'll have a feature story on that probably this weekend.
All right.
I'm hoping to kind of show people, you know, what they do there. You know, I love my veterans. So I think this will be a really good feature story. I'm going to talk to John Kilpatrick about it. And hopefully we'll have something up this weekend.
Very good. People want to reach out to you with news stories or whatever. How do they find you online?
You can email me and the whole group at news@1819news.com. And then obviously just go to 1819news.com and see the stories nobody else is going to tell you about.
Yeah, like that kangaroo story.
Ruin the road. Other agents, other news folks did the story. But they didn't find out where the kangaroo ended up.
That's right. They didn't do the rest of the story.
They didn't do the investigative digging.
I mean, could you imagine having that story when you were in TV?
Oh.
It would have been.
I would have been live on the side of the road with the roux.
I mean, you would have gone even before weather.
Oh, yeah.
When you come
in
at 5 o'clock.
Breaking.
Yeah. Not even go to the weather.
Yeah, right. I wish.
Go straight to the kangaroo.
I want to see more, you know, positive, happy animal stories in this world.
Well, wait, I don't know the positive part of it, but I can tell you this chimp story.
Yeah.
It's got local angle, too, so I'm just saying.
There's
a chimp show coming out on HBO. It's,
well, if there's
chimp moms.
Any opportunity for me to, like, pet a chimp.
Do you want to? What if they attack you?
Email news@1819news.com.
Okay, I'm out of it. I have no responsibility anymore in this. Erica, and people find you on. Are you still doing your Twitter thing or not?
I am. I'm still on there.
All right. So just.
I also don't know what my handle is. But.
Way to be a grown.
I know.
All right. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
See you next
week. Bye, y'all.
Erica Thomas with 1819 News, and we're coming right back.